Well, happy Easter. Come on. This is the day our Lord is risen. Let's have some excitement. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
There we go. On Friday, we looked at the cross and we examined who we were as we stood in the crowd before the cross. And today we're going to understand the power and the importance of the cross. But on Easter Sunday, many, many years ago, as the women walked towards the tomb, as they came upon a stone rolled back, there was fear in their hearts, for an unknown thing had happened. See, just a couple days before, they had watched Jesus die on the cross and were buried, and they buried him. And tradition, since the Saturday would have been the Sabbath, they wouldn't have been able to prepare his body. They wouldn't have been able to do the proper things. So they were going back to prepare him for a true burial. They knew in their minds and on their hearts it laid heavy that they were going to prepare the body of the man they believed was the Messiah. And as they came up, they saw the stone rolled back, and many feared that his body had been stolen. But there was fear in their hearts. And I'm wondering, how many of us come before Jesus with fear in our hearts of the unknown of what is to come at that moment? How many of us sit there and have a concern of accepting what we're seeing right in front of us, accepting the truth that we hear in the words that are given in Scripture, because we know it means change, or it means that we need to become something greater than what we were before, and that we have to give up those things that have brought us comfort maybe in the flesh and move to joy and happiness in the Spirit. But the truth of it is we gain a lot by moving into the spiritual understanding of who we are, because when we talk about it, the body dies, but the soul lives. And so why should we not nourish the soul even more so than we nourish the flesh? And that's what the cross allows us to do. It allows us to move from the flesh and the chains and the trapping of the flesh and moving into the spiritual side. Today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 35, going through the end of verse 58, Paul is giving us that exact understanding of what it means to put off the old and step into the new, to put off the flesh and step into the spiritual, to be made renewed, released from who you were and moved to where God wants you to be. So please stand with me as we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you need to sit down or you're not able to stand, by all means, please sit. There is a little bit of scripture here to go through today. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised in the spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first but the natural, and afterward the spirit. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is their or excuse me, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and rejoice in the blessing, the gift, the grace and mercy that you share through Jesus Christ with us. We lift up our hearts to you. We open our minds to be taught by you. For Lord God, you are the risen, the conqueror of death, and we are yours. For the debt that our sin has created has been paid by your blood. As you rose out of that grave, as you conquered death, became the first fruits, we became children of God again, fully acceptable before your Father through you by your actions. It is a gift that is given free and openly to all who believe. And so, Lord, we confess our belief in you. Return us to your hand. Draw us near. Let us find strength in your love. Let us be your children. Amen. Please be seated. Paul begins by giving us this beautiful understanding of what it means to have been one thing and made anew. And he starts out with this concept of sowing a seed or a piece of grain. I want you to think about this in your life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've confessed and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come and dwell upon you, and he started to work and change you and what you do in life, I want you to think back and look at what your life used to be. It was a seed. It was planted in the ground. As a child, we don't even know what we're going to grow up to be. In fact, many of us late in our lives, we're still questioning, what are we going to be? But see, in God's hand, he raises that seed up and makes it as he wills it to be. And that's hard for us to accept sometimes, but Paul made no qualms about it. He said, you know, in your prior life before Christ, talking to the Corinthians in the church, he said, before Christ, before God came in and started working upon your hearts, you were one thing, and it was nothing. It was just sitting there. But in Christ, as God worked and changed and rose you up, you became something with a body, with beautifulness, with usefulness. He goes on, he says, you know, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, of animals, of fish, of birds. Continues to break it out that, you know, you have celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. He's saying there's a difference in all of the creation, that certain things were made in certain ways to be certain ways. But in Christ, there's resurrection. He begins his discussion here in verse 35 by saying, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? See, because when we sit as humans, when we think about the corrupted, we have to question, what kind of body will we come back in? How many of you are in perfect health? If you're past 30 to 35, you probably wake up every morning feeling those little twinges, those little aches and pains. Even some before that, right? And we start questioning, like, oh man, I don't really know if I want to live eternity in this body. And we start questioning, and that's what they were doing. They were starting to question, well, what would it mean to be raised up? How would he raise up the dead? We've all seen the zombie apocalypse concept, right? The decay and the walking dead. And I think that'd probably freak a lot of people out, as they would imagine the dead being raised up in the bodies that they were. Some of them having sat in the ground or in the tomb for many decades, millennia even. It'd be kind of a scary thought. And so these were the thoughts that were rolling through their head. But see, in Jesus Christ, we're not raised up in the flesh. We're raised up in the spirit. And the beauty about that is that process starts even before the flesh gives out, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And that's why he says he's got these differences. If we start looking in verse 42, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. So what he's doing, he's giving a before and after concept. So before Christ, the body is sown in corruption. So in other words, it's made and it's corruptible. If you're over any age of, I'd say 40, you probably feel that. How many of you wake up and feel like you did when you were 20? Go out ahead and go have a really good hard day at work. Go shovel loads of dirt and move it for a day and then tell me how uncorruptible your body is the next day. See, the flesh is corruptible. It's weak. It wears out. It breaks down. But the new body will be raised up in incorruption. The old is sown in dishonor. He's reaching back to the concept of original sin, the brokenness and the disobedience that Adam and Eve had for God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so because of that, we're cast out of the garden, out of the perfection that we were supposed to be in. And we're living here. And so we're sown in dishonor. We're not what we're supposed to be, but when we are raised up in Christ, we're raised up in glory. For it's him who raises us up. We're sown in weakness, but raised in power. See, are you starting to understand the contrast between the before Christ and after Christ? He's setting up for this next area right here. For it is sown a natural body, but is raised up a spiritual body. And there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So here's the differences. Here's the breakdown between the two that he's talking about. Have you ever met that person that's in stage 4 cancer? Docs have given them less than weeks to live, but yet they have a smile on their face. They're encouraging those people who are coming in. They're just the light of the room. I've done hospital ministry for many years in my life, and I've met lots of people like that. It's because they're already starting to live their spiritual life. They understand that the flesh will fade away, but the spirit is strong, and they are loving life every last minute that they can have of it. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be so strong internally, so sure of who we are, so strong and where we stand, that it doesn't matter what happens to us physically, it doesn't matter what happens to us situationally, that we still have a smile on our face. We have a strength that drives us through the problem. See, in Jesus Christ, we receive that. For Jesus Christ went to the cross, died on the cross. Where most of us would have wrote it off and said, well, that's a done deal. Let's get back to the fields, get back to what matters day in and day out. A few short days later, he rose again. He overcame that which we fear the most, death and no longer existing. And he showed that there was a path past it. He became the first fruit. Where man had failed, he had succeeded. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, the Lord from heaven. This is Paul's comparison between Adam and Christ. The first Adam and the second Adam. Which is what was very commonly referred to in the beginnings of Christianity, was that Christ came to complete what Adam failed to do, to be obedient to God, to follow through the decrees that God asked him to do, without a lack of will, without a lack of want, but instead with a heart of love and commitment and obedience to continue the will of God here on earth. As we go, we have to understand that we can't just understand ourselves as flesh. We have to understand that we have spirit. In fact, it's our spirit that breaks us down. How many of you have been in a really hard situation, but something inside of you, a little voice or down deep in your heart, pushed you through the hard time? I see a few heads shaken. If you were ever in the military or anything that, Boy Scouts or any of those types of things where you had to do hikes or marches or anything like that, you understand that there's a time when your body sits there and says, enough's enough, I'm done. But your spirit pushes you through. Maybe you've had a disease or a sickness that you've overcome where there were days when you were ready to surrender because the flesh was broken, it was weak, and it was just tired from the day in and day out fight, but something kept on pushing you through. That is your soul. That is your spirit. That is what truly makes you who you are. That's what defines your character. And that's what Paul's talking about here, is put off the old. Stop worrying about the old self. Don't let it hold you down, because in Christ you are made anew and you're given a strength that is beyond imagination. That's why he says, as was the man of dust, are also those who are made of dust. So if all you are is the flesh that you carry, if that's all you consider yourself is this, what you are here in the flesh, well, then that's where you're going to go return to, is just the dust that you're made from. The particles and the minerals and all the other things that make our fleshly bodies up will return to the state that they were. But in Jesus Christ, you're able to step up and out, and as is the heavenly man, so as is Christ, so also are those who are heavenly. So those of us who sit there and push away from the fleshly or the worldly things and move into the spiritual things to seek out Christ and to be called his, without fear, without concern, but to truly be made in the next step of being spiritual. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. See, we can become what Christ was on earth. We can become the image bearers of Christ. As he goes on, he starts to explain that the flesh and the blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See, you can't be a spiritual being if you're tied to the world. It's impossible. But you need to release your fear of death, both physical and emotional. And that's where the power of Christ comes in. See, Jesus didn't fear the cross. He didn't fear any of the beatings he took. He didn't fear the staking to the tree. He didn't fear the physical death that was coming, because he trusted in the Father. He knew where God was moving things. He knew and understood what his role was in it. But the question I have for you is, are you able to release the fears that you have? Are you allowed to lift yourself up and out of the world? Or are you allowing yourself to do so? Or are you going to hold yourself to the ground? Are you going to be chained to the brokenness of sin? And remember, all sin is the disobedience to God, to not truly confess that he is the Lord. Victory over death is a powerful thing. And Band of Brothers, for all of you guys out there that have watched that, there's a scene where Captain Spears comes running in, and he comes across a young private who's sitting in a hole, and he's just sitting there huddling and he's shaking. And guy says, like, how do you do it? He says, you need to realize something. You're already dead. It doesn't matter anymore. It seems like a weird stain to give to a young private. But when you're no longer concerned about dying and you're just free from it, imagine the burden that's lifted off of your shoulders. Imagine just how free you'd be to move into the life that you were meant to live. That's why we call it the bucket list, right? To go off and do those things when you get told that, hey, you've got a year left, and people are like, oh, I got to get to that bucket list. And we start really living life as we should. How many of you have met that person who when they were told, like, oh, you know, you're not going to make it much more than a year, year and a half, has heard, man, I wish I would have done this in my life. I wish I would have done that in my life. I wish I would have had better relationships with those people I knew, and I wish I would have loved deeper and been more involved. See, it seems like when we no longer fear death because we know it's coming or it's already on the doorstep, we can push it away, and suddenly it's not so refined or so containing of us. But Jesus Christ gives us that ability spiritually. How many of you suffer from being so scared to go out and do that which you know you're called to do simply because you're afraid of the personal death that may be there? To confess or to sit there and say that you're a Christian or to be open in those conversations, you're so scared of what may happen in the flesh and the words that may be said about you that you can't step up and forward. See, in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about that anymore. In Jesus Christ, you don't have to sit there and worry about what it means to not be a Christian, because you are. And on the cross, he paid a price so that you could be his. The big fancy word we call it is sanctification. It's a moment in time that his actions on the cross made it so that you could be his child. It took nothing of your doing, but simply to be before the cross. And now you have victory over death because he defeated death. Because of his death, you're released from sin. You no longer have a debt sitting on your back. You're no longer an indentured servant just waiting to pay out your time to go and spend your time in hell because of the debt, because it's been paid for. It's been freeing. You're no longer defined by this world, but you're now defined by God as his child. See, this is what the cross can do. The cross can free you from all that brokenness that you used to be in or that you have in your life. It doesn't change who you are at the moment, but it begins the process of God shaping and changing you for who you are to be in his world. The reason I say that is while there's a definite change in most people's hearts, you see it almost instantly, you still have a history, right? Each and every one of us has walked a path up to this point. But in Christ, you no longer have to be guilty of it. You no longer have to let it hold you back because you can step off in the new direction because you're made renewed. This is the resurrected body. It's not a body of flesh and blood. It's a body of the Spirit. I can tell you as a young man, I was angry. I had a lot of hate in my life. I was constantly discontented with what was going on around me because I felt like the world owed me more than what it was giving me. But in 1996, I had my conversion. And in that moment, within days, it was quite apparent that I was no longer the same person I was before. I didn't look at the world as if it owed me anything. I didn't look at the world as if I was its gift. No, instead, I started understanding that the world was God's and that within it, I was provided for. I had never been wanting. I'd always had a pretty good life. But I'd never seen it before I knew Jesus Christ, because I was always looking for what the world owed me instead of what God had already given me. And so in this time, when we release ourselves from that past and we die, We release the fear that we have when we come to Christ, and we just start walking in his footsteps, and we start following the path that he has set before us. We're released and we have freedom. And so when this corruptible has become or put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, when you put on Jesus Christ, when you come before the cross and you release your fear of where he'll lead you and you just follow, you're stronger. For those of you who confess Christ and follow Christ, I want you to do an inventory. From before you believe to now after that you believe, look at the situations that are in your life or have been in your life. See how you reacted to him before you met Christ and how you met him after. Did you have more strength after? Did knowing that you had Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior help propel you and push you through difficult times, give you steadfastness and endurance to run the race? I'm willing to bet that each and every one of you will say yes. Because I know from my personal story, it's a truth. That before God, every time I ran into a wall, I was angry and frustrated. I would blame everybody else. But after Christ, I could sit back and just see that it was an event. And it wasn't what defined me anymore, because I was defined by Christ, not by the actions or the situations I was in, but how I followed in Christ's footsteps. See, that's where victory of death comes in. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? See, what Paul is bringing in is this understanding that in Jesus Christ, who you used to be no matter or no longer matters, because he is making you anew into what he wills you to be. You are no longer defined by the flesh and the world around you. You are now defined by God himself. And when we can release that fear of what the world holds for us and death, and know that we have everlasting life in the spiritual with Christ, who has already defeated and shown that there is a path that we may walk in and has promised that he will raise us up in that way, death no longer scares us. And our spirit cannot die because it is not of this world anymore. It's not affected by the world anymore because we put and place it in the spiritual realm. And so the stain of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, because the law reminds us that we're broken, but in Christ we're told we're made anew and perfect again. And so we no longer have to worry about that, but we can walk boldly and strongly towards where Christ is calling us. In verse 58, Paul ends this section. He says, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the labor is not in vain in the Lord. What he's reminding us is each and every day we must come before the cross and confess who we are. For the work of the cross sanctified us, made it possible to return to the love of the Father. And every day we need to stand before it and remind ourselves of who we are, that we are children of God, we are the ambassadors of the light in this world, and that he has made us that way, that he has purposed us for that. See, every day that we come before the cross, every day that we remember the resurrected Lord and the victory over death that he has, it renews who we are in Jesus Christ. Not who we are in this world, but who we are in God's kingdom. And if you are of God's kingdom, and if you are God's child, will you not have the strength to make it through the day? Will you not have the love of the Lord in your heart? See, so every day we need to come to the cross, and we need to die at the cross so that we may live as the person that God has created us to be. Because each and every day we get to declare that we are God's. Each and every day we get to relive the salvation that came from the cross, the gift that was given to us, and the strength that comes along with it. See, each and every day we get to remind ourselves just who we are. We are the children of God, loved and promised to overcome death and no longer be bound by this world. So I ask you, each and every one of you, do you stand before the cross and confess who you are before it? Do you rejoice in a risen Lord who defeated death so that you may be made whole again? Each and every day, do you come before God and say, I am yours. Do with me as you will. For it is his strength that is overcoming. It is his strength that has defeated death. It is his love that propels us into the world. Where do you find your strength? Where do you come from? And who do you belong to? Each and every day you get to ask yourself that. Each and every day you can reconfirm that. Maybe you've never done that before in your life. Maybe you've never had that opportunity. Or maybe it's never been presented to you in a way that you feel a calling to come before the cross and just confess that you are God's. If you're at that point, please feel free to do so today. If you don't know how to do it, find me or someone that looks like they might know what they're doing and have us help you. But I cannot stress the importance of coming before God each and every day and remembering the work that was done on the cross, that we may be reminded of who we are so that we can have the strength to continue through. Paul is telling them in verse 58 that be steadfast in Christ, be immovable in Christ, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. So in other words, always knowing who you are and what your purpose is in this world will give you the strength to make it through it. And this is Paul speaking, who knows the persecution that is to come because he has met a lot of it. He understands the difficulties of the confession of Christ will become in people's lives. And he says, and only on the cross can you stand. Only in Christ can you have strength. Only in Christ can you be who you are meant to be. And so he's reminding them, don't ever, ever count it vain what you do in the name of the Lord. For that is the only strength that we have. Each and every day we look at a world that seems to get more and more broken. We have more and more fear being generated by the flesh in this world. But in Christ we can be released from it all because we know we have the promise of everlasting life. We know that we have a sense of joy deep inside of us. The living well that comes up and out. So my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For his work on the cross was not in vain, but brought life, love, and faith into this world. Rejoice today, for our Lord is risen, and we are his children. Amen. We are going to take communion. The only requirements we have is that you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sin, that you are a sinner, and that you come to this table to meet. So go ahead, and why don't you come on up, and we'll grab stuff and come sit back down, and as we come together this morning, let's remember the price that was paid for us. For this world is broken and we see it every day around us. As Jesus Christ was hung on the cross and his body was broken and his blood flowed, we were released from the sin that abounds, from Satan's power, from the death that was surely to come. And so as we take this bread, we drink this juice, let us lift our hearts up in joyful thanksgiving for the price that was paid that we may be made whole that our debts may not be counted against us. For Lord Jesus, because of your willfulness and your obedience, the brokenness of humanity was overcome. And while this world may still have its foot inside of that brokenness, Lord God, you lift us out and you call us to be something more, to be truly yours. And so, Lord, we just take this moment to confess that we will continue to try to be that, that we will walk from this moment on, standing before your cross, confessing that we are yours. For we understand that you are always with us, and that it is by your Holy Spirit that we are able to do great things. For death has lost its sting, and there is no victory in it anymore. Amen.